But I mean, there's still even AIDS phobia and HIV phobia in our own community as a queer community, even to this day. Because I know I was stigmatized after my long-term partner died in 2004, even by other people who are HIV positive, some of whom were my former clients and so on. So interesting.
So tell me about that long-term partner. What was his name?
His name was Gile.
And you were together for 15 years?
Yep. He was diagnosed 5 years into our relationship.
And when was that? What year?
1993.
So there were.
August 11th was the date of his diagnosis.
Okay, wow.
He was diagnosed with fairly advanced infection. His T4 count was under 200. But he didn't want to take the medication because he didn't want to be sick. So he actually didn't start ARVs because they didn't come up until 1995, until 2 years later. And so he didn't start meds until the beginning of 1996. But unfortunately for him, he seemed to have a strain of HIV that was fairly drug resistant. And so he always had a really, really difficult time rebuilding. With the medications working or them rebuilding his immune system. I know other people who were sicker than him, who manifested sickness more than he did, who are still alive today and quite healthy presenting and so on and so forth, but that was not the case for him.
Wow, that must have been really hard.
I remember fighting with pharmaceuticals for medications, for drug release. Philip Berger and Ann Phillips were his doctors, and they were wonderful advocates. But dealing with pharmaceuticals, I remember fighting with them to get compassionate release for him because it wouldn't release. Like even at one point, he was taking like 100 pills a day, and one of the medications, ganciclovir, they developed a pro-ganciclovir, but it was on a case-by-case release, and they wouldn't release it to him because he didn't meet their criteria. And I remember like fighting and so on and so forth. I mean, he eventually got the release, but it was not an easy process. It wasn't a easy time at all.
That's
So
horrible, yeah.
when people tell me today that, it's hard for them because they have to take this pill every day. I'm like, they used to want, used to have one of those pill boxes, right? And that was like, it was for a day, kind of thing, because there were like 100 pills per day kind of stuff to be taken with food, without food, once a day, twice a day, three times a day, blah, blah, blah. So,
Yeah. And what about before that, how did you meet
I met him at a club in Ottawa.
Guy? Which one do you remember?
I first met him at Top Drawer
Okay.
on Street. I didn't meet him in the club. We were walking home, and he was walking. And I tried cruising him at that time. It didn't work. And then I'm trying to think, where did we actually hook up? And I'm trying to remember. And that's funny. I think it was at Top Drawer as well, but I'm not 100% sure at this point in time.
And when was that again?
That would have been 1988.
Okay.
I think it was a Top Drawer because he lived just off Bank Street and I lived about a 5 minute, 10 minute walk from there. So
And you said you only lived there for like a year, right? So the
I lived
window.
there for 10 months.
Okay, yeah.
I moved there in, I moved there at the end of June and I met him at the end of November.
Okay, wow. And how kind of quickly did you bond turn into a relationship?
So you see, this was the interesting part. I was waiting for a job in Toronto. And so for me, Ottawa was only a stepping stone. And he had come out of a long-term relationship, didn't want a relationship. I was away from my parents, away from Vancouver for the first time in my life. I wasn't looking for a relationship. I wanted to be single. I wanted to, experience my own life. And so we started, and I was dating somebody in Toronto, which was on my part was also very casual. So we sort of start hooked up, sort of because we liked each other, and neither of us was looking for a relationship. And with the understanding that I was going to be moving in a few months and so on and so forth. And I'd actually been interviewed for a job, and I was actually for the federal government, and I was actually waiting for the job offer. Okay. So in December, I went to Vancouver to visit my parents, and I left him the key to my apartment to water my plants and clear my mail and so on and so forth.
And
And what happened?
you had only met the month before that, right? November.
Yeah. And what happened is that he got broken into his apartment. And he had an idea as to who it was. He had helped out somebody who had stayed with him and some while earlier, just to like a friend or whatever, but somebody who was somewhat disturbed. So he phoned me and said, "Look, my place has been broken into. They didn't take everything, but if it's a person, I think it means that they have access to my apartment. Can I move some of my stuff into my apartment? And I'm going to have to into your apartment." And I'm, and I said, "Sure. And you can do that until you figure out." And then I, in our conversation, I said, "Well, look, I'm going to be leaving in a month or 2 months. And do you want to, I'm going to need to find somebody to take over my apartment because I had a lease." I said, do you want to live with me? We can share the rent and save money, and I'll be leaving soon." And so by that time, we'd been together like 6 months. So he came to Toronto with me, and that's how we ended up in a relationship.
Nice. So then what was kind of your relationship with Guy like kind of before his diagnosis?
Good, bad, and ugly, like every relationship.
Sure, yeah, of course. And
Yeah.
what was he like? What did he dress like? What kind of music did he listen to? Stuff like that.
Guy was very much sort of like a romantic, French Canadian, Franco-Ontario, not Quebecois artist, sort of soul. He did art, he did this. So when we moved to Toronto, he eventually got a job at the refugee board where I was working, and but he got it in administration. And then upon his diagnosis, he went on disability. And so he pursued some art and he did this, but he was on disability and he struggled with his health. So, the first 5 years of our relationship were spent moving from one place to Toronto and establishing ourselves in Toronto and getting jobs and trying to sort of build a future and plan a future and so on and so forth. And then, within less than so August 93, we moved here in April of 89. So 4 years, within 4 years he was diagnosed. And so, we traveled through Europe, we'd traveled to Africa, we had, our families, we had met each other's families and so on and so forth. But those first years were formative in terms of trying to build a future and a life. He was 4 years older than me. I don't know what to say about that, but very much like an artist sort of personality. He liked antiques and stuff, and he in fact introduced me to a lot of sort of antiquing and sort of French Canadian history and also French Canadian antiquities and so on and so forth. I remember one of the pieces of furniture that I still have from him is a church pew, and that he had bought in Ottawa before he had met me. But when he was diagnosed, so I'm HIV negative, and I guess I had a choice at that point in time whether to stay in the relationship or not.
Right.
I remember reading about HIV discordant couples and their difficulties and stuff like that. It was never easy. When your spouse or your partner has an illness like a cancer or this or that, you can still love them and still be intimate with them without being afraid for your own wellness. I remember when we were buying our house, and he was on disability by that time, and I'd asked him to do a couple of things, and they just weren't getting done, and they were simple things and so on. And I remember sort of going, "What the F, is going on?" and so on. And it was his response was, "I'm afraid." And so for him, with his health situation, he didn't know what was going to happen to him in 6 months, whereas I was trying to plan for my future. And that's I think a huge challenge in any kind of illness, but this also posed those whole kinds of stigma and all of this sort of stuff. And he didn't tell a lot of people about his HIV infection. Like, he wasn't open about it, which also, I remember one of my clients saying to me, who was also HIV positive, "I was going through all of that and you never told me that you're a partner." And I said, "It wasn't mine to tell." Right? It's not mine to tell.
But also you he was diagnosed 5 years into your relationship, right? And you were together for 15. So that's still quite a long chunk of time that he stuck around and fought and lived.
10 years. From diagnosis in August 1993 to passing in February of 2004.